Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie. All right, welcome. We are back for another episode of Your Spiritual Besties. Rashida, hey girl.
Hey, good morning, Lauren and Gemma. Gemma's joining us today, as usual. How are y'all? How are y'all faring this morning?
You know, it's been one of those mornings that's just been so full, like, I don't know, mom life, right? I'm like listening to podcasts about gardening because I'm super into getting a garden started this year. I ordered my seeds. I ordered like grow lights for the, I forget what it's called, but when you start your seeds indoors.
Your germination period. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like folding laundry and answering emails and making breakfast and changing diapers and, you know, all the stuff.
A lot of pitta going on, I feel like.
Yes. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. You know what? Now that you say that, I'm like, oh yeah, it is time to start ordering seeds. But you know, I do well with last minute things sometimes. So I'm going to flow that way this year. But this morning has been really cool. The kids were wonderful this morning. No meltdowns or breakdowns. We were vibing. We had a really great morning. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the rest of the day, just kind of being equally nice.
Well, that sounds wonderful. We didn't sleep and it's been meltdown city all morning. But ain't that the way it goes?
It is. Hashtag mom life.
Yes. So today we have a really special guest. I'm so excited to bring her on. I've been following her for a while on Instagram and just finished one of her lovely courses, and I just cannot wait to pick her brain. So today we have Ellie Rose Pierpont, also known as Salt of Venus. And Ellie Rose Pierpont is a relationship astrologer and heart-centered business mentor. She guides people into their divine feminine magic so they can show up authentically and receive in love and biz. Welcome, Ellie.
Welcome. Hi. Happy to be here.
We're so happy you're here. So we love to start with this question. What is spirituality to you?
Ooh, we're going in big. What is spirituality? I guess it's like the stuff that's not the mundane. So you've got like the stuff that you do every day, you have your responsibilities, your to-do list. It's my Virgo speaking already, you know, all that stuff, like the stuff you have to do in the material world. And then there's like something more. And I feel like the something more is like what we all crave when we get too much into all of the mundane stuff. It's like, what is actually the meaning of all of this? Like, why are we actually here, like doing these things and going through our like day-to-day routines? And it's like there's something that keeps us all together and something that is like bigger than us, some consciousness, God, goddess, universe, whatever you want to call it. And so for me, spirituality is like tapping into that and having some sort of connection with that. It's like connection with your higher self, could be like the kind of, you know, the in-between point, like, you know, and it kind of makes you feel like, okay, now I can get back to the mundane stuff because I've like filled up my cup. I'm like, you know, I feel connected in some way. I don't feel like bored. I don't feel like, oh, you know, what is the point in all of this? Like I feel lit up by it. So I think spirituality is actually what we're all craving. And, you know, when we go through these like down periods or like feeling a little bit stuck, it's actually, we need more spirituality. So yeah, that's what it is for me, I guess.
That's top beautiful. Level answer. Yeah, no, that's beautiful. And I usually don't do this, but you said something and it was like, I'm going to paraphrase here, but spirituality is the meaning the meaning behind the mundane. And there's something like beautiful about that because, I mean, we're here, we're humans. We have these meat suits, right? We have to do these things. Like we have to, that's just part of who we are, but there's so much more than just that. And so I love that. That was beautiful, Ellie. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, I love that too. And I think when you tap into, like, I guess, let's say that dichotomy between like the mundane and the magic, that you see that there's a lot of magic in the mundane.
Yeah.
But I think if you're like divorced from the spirituality or the spiritual aspect, it's hard to like see the vibrancy behind life. So Ellie, at first, when I came across your Instagram account, I felt really drawn to your branding. It's all pinks and reds. It's very like romantic and vintage and cool. I even wore a pink and red shirt today in your honor.
I really love that shirt, actually, the
Thank you.
Medusa. It's like,
It
yes,
says it's
goddess.
Medusa and it says petrify the patriarchy on it.
Love
So
it.
that's where we're at
Yes.
today. Love it too. So I love your branding. And I was really curious to know where the name Salt of Venus came from.
Okay, so interestingly, I used to have my account under my full name, and I could never really get it off the ground. Like, I was still doing the same things. I was like, I'm really into aesthetic anyway, so I was kind of still doing that, and it was getting some traction and had like a little community, but it was never really getting off the ground. And then one day I was like, maybe it's because it's under my name and there's like a certain kind of it's like not being able to fully put yourself out there as just kind of like, oh, little old me, you know. And I really like I came across the idea of like playing with an alter ego, which I really like to do to write from. Like, when you write from an alter ego, it gives you this permission to like be a little bit more like sassy, be a little bit more like out there than your usual self, right? And I think I might be my Leo rising speaking, right? Like, oh, I just play a part. So yeah, I hadn't really like had the idea to change it. And then one day I came across this phrase, and it's a phrase used in alchemy, and it is to do with the element of copper. So like the alchemists used copper in their alchemy to represent anything like heart related. So if they were doing some sort of working of like yeah, love or like relationships or like just anything that had to represent the heart, they would use this phrase, salt of Venus, which is copper. And I was like, wow. That's like it really like spoke to me. And I was like, what the work that I do is really alchemical. So like even though I'm like using astrology and you know these things that are like quite accessible, like what's going on is there's like a transformation of self happening when people start to interact with their birth chart and they start to like do these practices and work with their own energy. They are going through an alchemical process. They are literally like, you know, getting rid of anything that is not really them, and they're like transmuting it and then becoming like the gold of their true selves in relationships, in business, you know. So I was like, I'm just gonna change it. And then I just did it. I didn't think about it. I didn't like go through like I'm normally such an overthinker. Like, I've got a lot of air in my chart. So I'm like, oh, I'll just like think about it for a week or two. But I was like, no, it's done. And as soon as I did it was like it was perfectly aligned. That's when I started to make better content. I started to show up more, and my account just went boom. It went from like 1500 to like 19,000 now. So it's like that name was
Wow.
like it was like the spark that I needed to like just be like, here I am.
That's a really awesome story. I had no idea that that was a name for copper either. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I love that. So, I would love to know like your Dharma journey. So, what brought you from England to Nepal? What sparked your interest in becoming a relationship astrologer and coach?
Well, I a relationship I never chose to be a relationship astrologer. I actually have a history of terrible, terrible, terrible relationships, to the point where I'm like known for that with my friends, where they're
Oh
like like I have had the worst out of all of my girlfriends, the worst, worst relationships. And I got into astrology maybe like 15 years ago, 12, 15 years ago, I started to study it more formally because I was in a very toxic relationship and I actually wanted to understand him. So I was like using it, I was using it not to understand myself, but to like, to be like, what's his deal? Like, what's going on with him? How can I make this better? How can I make this relationship work? And so I got into it in that way, like just trying to like understand what was going on with that. And I took some courses, and the more I got into it, the more I was like, oh, actually, this is like teaching me a lot about myself as well. And in that relationship, I went to India, and it got really, really bad. And I got to the point where I very dramatically, again, Leo rising, threw myself into the ocean, and I was like, universe, I don't want this life anymore. Give me another one. I don't care what you give me. You can give me anything you want. I'll take it. Anything over this one. And so then in this is all very magical. In the next few weeks, I was getting loads of signs like, go to this place in India. Go, like leave him, go by yourself. So I did, and I was like, okay, let's do it. And I ended up on the path of, I guess, the goddess. Like I started going to like goddess temples, and I started getting like synchronicities and signs and all kinds of things that I needed to like start this business, that I needed to leave him. And I did, and I kind of like put myself out there. And yeah, it all kind of happened to like, I just listened and was like, okay, I'll do it. Whatever you're telling me to do, whatever you is. And yeah, it kind of took me to live there for several years, and I lived in Nepal. I ended up meeting somebody who was a legit yogi, and like then like went in the Himalayas with him. Ended up in like a long-term relationship with him, and then living there in the Himalayas with him. So yeah, it was like all very like hear the call and follow it. And it really helped me to like shake off a lot of the like codependency that I had, a lot of the like kind of low self-worth and like toxic relationships, because I was, you know, doing things that were like really pushing me like beyond my edges, you know. And yeah, and so now I'm halfway, you know, between there and here, and built this business. People kept coming to me like wanting help with their relationships, and I was like, who am I to help people with their relationships, you know? But actually it turned out that that was really good, because it meant that I could empathize with them, and I could like see the blind spots that I'd had as well. And like I think that if you are someone that's had like a perfect journey with something, you're maybe you know, maybe you can't help as much as somebody that has been in real, you know, deep dark places with that stuff. Because yeah, if you've been there, then you're not going to judge somebody. You're able to like see, you know, I can kind of like see what got me from there to here. So yeah, I guess my terrible relationship history was a good thing.
I love that. I love the fact that you were still able to like work on yourself while being within a relationship. I know a lot of times people feel like that's not possible. Like, you know, I just have to leave. And if it's, you know, not meant to be and it's not healthy for you, absolutely. But it wasn't this journey of, oh, I was just by myself and I found the way. But no, you were actually able to like figure it out while being in a relationship. And I love that because you don't hear that too often.
Well, I mean, I had to leave one and then spend a
No,
bit of time by
absolutely.
myself, but then I was gonna say, I think actually that we learn the most when we're in the relationships, because that's when you're really like pushed
In the work.
to you know, you've got to. So I think that it can be very transformative. It's like when the hard work happens.
I think that's like how spirituality works in general. It's like, yeah, we can speak in platitudes and maybe go into the Himalayas and never leave and meditate in a cave, but like it's when we get tested, it's real life that like builds our strength and where we get to actually use the lessons that we've downloaded and learned. So, and I love that you're using, you know, and vulnerably sharing the difficulties that you've had. And of course that's going to help others. Like how boring if you were just like, I've always had a perfect relationship with everyone I've ever known. And I'm here to share why I'm so perfect.
Yes, totally not relatable. We like relatable. I love that. And, you know, even like your path to your dharma, it just, it's almost like, Lauren, correct me if I'm wrong, because we know there's a few paths to the dharma, but it's almost like a leap of faith. It kind of felt like when Ellie was like, universe, just give me anything. And it happened. And you were able to walk that path towards that. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think so. In that like surrender moment, opened you up to being able to like hear your intuition and like follow the breadcrumbs to where you are now. And that's such a beautiful thing. For me, I hope that like most people have those moments of surrender. Maybe it doesn't have to be dramatically throwing yourself into the ocean if you don't have Leo rising, but maybe there are those moments where you're just like, somebody help me, because I don't have this all figured out. And that does open you up to like to hear the voice and to hear like what is supposed to come next. And there's so much magic and potential in that.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna move us a little bit, Ellie, because I'm interested. When Lauren shared you with me and, you know, what she was doing, and I was like, I saw your, you know, Instagram, and I was like, ooh, love, like relationships. But then when I was like, I'm taking a money course. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, huh? Tell us, you know, what are the parallels between relationship and money? I know Lauren was sharing a little bit about that, but to me personally, but I would want to know, how did you get from, you know, being this relationship astrologer coach to working with money, and how does that like play off of each other?
So money was the other thing that I was really terrible at. I got to the point where I was like, there's a connection here, like, and I was getting it a lot, not just with myself, but with clients as well, where if they had a bit of a problem with relationships, then they also tended to sometimes have a problem with money as well. And there was like a real link. And kind of slowly it started to get to the point where I was like, okay, everybody's chart that I'm looking at is there's something going on with their Venus. And obviously Venus is the planet of love and money. And I was like, okay, Venus is the planet of love and money. Why is that? And what is the like connection for these people as well? And so I brought it back to, or I, you know, eventually kind of observed that it was a lot to do with receiving. And so the people that are having trouble with relationships, 9 times out of 10, they're having a problem with receiving, because I don't tend to get a lot of people that are like, oh yeah, you know, I'm the one that's constantly taking, that, because those people, why would they reach out for help, right? Like,
right.
So
they're getting what like, they need,
they're,
right?
They're good, you know. So the people that were coming to me for relationship advice, and you know, not necessarily people in relationships, it might be single people where they're like constantly having the same situation. They're overgivers, they're people pleasers, they're like putting themselves out there and not receiving, because they've got some sort of block around receiving. It's like it doesn't feel safe for them, or it doesn't come naturally. They don't really know how to like how to do that, how to even let somebody give to them. And so the same thing happens with money as well. Like if you can't receive love, then it's really hard to also receive money, because what you're receiving is support, is like, you know, your needs. And if you can't tap into what you need, then it's actually quite hard to tap into that source of money. And this is not necessarily, you know, people that were in that from birth, you know, that I've had plenty of people that are born into wealthy families that also like struggle to receive the money, because it's like there's some wound there, or there's like something going on that makes them kind of go like, oh, I don't feel comfortable to have this and to hold this. So eventually I was like, okay, this is the same thing. This is like the same energy, and you can go at it in the same way, you know, whether you're dealing with relationships and I want to receive attention, I want to receive validation, I want to receive help and love and support, and I want to receive money. So I was like, okay, How do other people look at this? And Lauren, you've probably seen in the course, I've kind of talked about like how different cultures see money. And it's not always like this kind of westernized view of like money is a material tool that is just a unit of value that you use. Like there are a lot more kind of spiritual understandings of money, particularly in Hinduism, you've got goddess Lakshmi. So because I was spending such a long time in India and Nepal, I was like seeing the way that people interacted with wealth or money as it is, a spirit or a goddess in that case. And so I was like playing with that quite a lot, and slowly started to make more money. I was like, okay, this works. And because you're like connecting in that way, you're like having a relationship, as in you're like actively engaging in this, you become more conscious of it, and then you kind of like open to receive a little bit more, because it's like it's less like, oh, this is meaning that I have some sort of worth, and if I don't have it, I'm not worthy, it's more a case of like, how can I like actively participate in this relationship? And for me, who's like always had this kind of I guess not obsession, but like a really big interest in relationships, I'm very relationship focused, that was a lot easier for me to receive money in that way. So that's the connection.
That is really awesome and really cool that you like made that connection. And I do know, especially for me starting off in the spiritual journey, you were absolutely right. Like the way money is perceived in the Western part of the world is like something sometimes negative. Like it's just this thing that, we have to have, but it causes all these issues. And it wasn't until I, stepped into this space that I realized, you know what? And was, taking in the learning that it's a currency. It's an energetic currency. And depending on what you're doing with those energetics will determine how it's viewed, within your life. And so thank you for breaking that down and showing that parallel beautifully and really speaking to that, because having that mindset shift and that change really will, I think, open up a lot of doors for people.
Yeah, it definitely does. And I think that we've got a little bit like almost obsessed over in the West with like it meaning something about us. And so if you can kind of like take the pressure off of that, then that kind of just opens you up to receiving more of it. So it's almost like you can kind of like go in the side door and receive more, rather than being like, how can I like make more money?
It almost reminds me of, are you familiar with Abraham Hicks? And how they like to tell us to like know that you have it, it's there, and just let it happen. So being like really open to just allowing, even money just to flow to you, know that it's going to come, and like quit like trying to, break down the walls to get to it, because it's already there. The more we like focus on the not having, the more we're not bringing it in. So thank you.
Yeah, Ellie, like you, I had a horrible relationship with money for a long time, just for a lot of different reasons that I won't go into right now, but really like nervous system response to money. And I felt a lot of relief when I think it was Deepak Chopra I learned from a long time ago of money as a currency. And in that way, I was able to like see it in a neutral way, like it flows in and out and it's meant to move, and there's nothing bad about it. It's just what it is. But what I really love, and this came to me a few years later, was money as a deity. And like you, I'm a devotee of Lakshmi. I will show you. I've got with me today my beautiful little Lakshmi
Wow,
that I got in
beautiful.
Rishikesh, and she's made of
Yeah.
rosewood, and I just love her. And
Beautiful.
I found her out of desperation here many years ago. I just could not. I couldn't like remove the spiritual or emotional block enough to actually like look at my money in a practical way and start fixing some problems. Like I needed to deal with kind of the nervous system response first before, and like the mindset and energy shift before I could really go in and tackle things. So I came across Lakshmi when I was looking for like spells or chants to help me shift my money mindset. And I just felt so connected to her, and I've been chanting to her for many years, and it really has transformed my relationship with money. And it's definitely been a process and a journey. But I really appreciate that aspect. Like, it's something that not only isn't evil, it's something like we can actually like worship or identify with or be devoted to, is like this idea of abundance and receiving. I feel like I have so many questions around this, but I'll go into why do you think, I mean, I have my own theories and reasons for my own personal life, but why do you think, especially for like feminine folks, that it's difficult to receive?
I think a lot of it has got to do with how we are conditioned, how we're like brought up to be very available. And to not be rewarded for that. So like a lot of the time we're kind of conditioned to be the emotional caregivers. And then for that not to be seen as work, it's like, oh no, that's just what you do, but you're not working. And so I've seen a lot, with kind of friends and clients where they are like I guess what you would call the homemaker, and the kind of husband who's earning the money is kind of like, well, you're not working. And it's like, but that is work. It's huge amount of work, sometimes more. And particularly like in countries like India and Nepal, like as I've seen, like the feminine is like a donkey. It's like going from morning till night, make the food, chop the vegetables, to see to everybody, like clean everything up like this, and so I think that we're kind of expected to work, but without actually be that being even acknowledged as work. And so that kind of puts us in this position where, we think that we have to give and give and give, especially like emotional support, and not receive anything, which is why you see a lot of kind of, I guess, coaches or spiritual service providers, anything that is considered to be like a feminine profession, is typically underpaid because it's, oh well, what are you doing? You're just talking to somebody. Well, no, actually, it's a lot of emotional resources that we're giving. It's just that it's not seen in the mainstream as being like as important as like industrial, like getting on that capitalist industrial vibe. So I think that's why, and I think it's changing, which is fantastic. Like now we're seeing like the rise of like seven figure coaches, and and like probably 99% of them are feminine. So it's like, wow, this is starting to change. But then you do also see a lot of judgment towards that. It's like, what are you even doing? It's like, well, I'm changing people's lives through, like through their emotions and through their mindset shifts and by holding space for them. And, so yeah, I think that's why I think it's a lot to do with our culture, and our conditioning.
Yeah, I totally identify with that. I saw a study recently, or a statistic in the US that if a stay-at-home mother was paid for her labor, she would make around like $180,000 a year.
And she should.
Yeah, I mean, somebody give us that money.
Yeah, come on, where is it?
But I absolutely identify too. So, Rashida and I are both like wellness and spiritual professionals. She's a massage therapist and a spiritual life coach. And I'm a yoga teacher and studio owner and spiritual life coach as well. And I have seen for many years among people I've mentored and among myself too, of like not putting an appropriate value on our work that like really coincides with our impact and our energy exchange. What advice would you have for somebody, working in this particular realm, and let's just say like realm of service in general, to like step into a more empowered space where we are asking for what we deserve for our service?
I think that you can look at it from a few different angles. When I put my like Virgo specs on, I would say that you need to be actually quite aware of how much these things cost to even offer, because a lot of people are charging to the point where I don't know if they're even making minimum wage, because when you take tax off, when you take the cost of a website, when you take the, you know, the cost of actually running that business in order to offer that service, it's like not viable at all. And you know, this is something that you don't necessarily see from a business, but is there. It's like it's built into the cost. So you need to also be very like on that in terms of like how much is this actually costing me? And would it actually be better to just get a job and, you know, have somebody, because a lot of the time it that is the case. And I would also say from a psychological point of view that it's not actually that much harder to sell something that's more expensive. It's actually almost harder to sell something that's cheap, because people get this idea about it. Like, you get a lot of people kind of trying to sell their sessions really, really low. And so then when someone sees that, they're like, oh, actually, that probably isn't very good because it's cheap. And that's not to say that we should just show up and slap a really high price on it, because, you know, that's what people want to see. But there is a truth in the fact that the when somebody actually invests in something, they are investing their effort in it as well, you know. Whereas I've had things where I've given things away for free, or on a scholarship, or, you know, and people just haven't even done it. You know, like a course or something, and you know, they don't put the effort in. That's not everybody. Of course, there are some people that will, you know, take the opportunity. But in general, I see that the more somebody's investing in something, the more that they are likely to actually have that transformation. So in a way, it's helpful for you, because you're able to pay your bills, pay your taxes, eat, you know, and hopefully like have a few nice pleasures here and there as well. And you're helping that person, because that person's more likely to actually show up and do the work, instead of, you know, the 37th free thing that they've just taken and not done anything with.
I love that aspect of the effort. You know, you're really buying into the effort. I know for me, as a massage therapist, I had kept my prices down low, because I was like, oh, you know, I don't want to, you know, charge too much, because I don't know if people can afford it, and you know, all these things. And here I am, an 11-year therapist, and I'm not anymore. I don't charge low prices anymore, but I just had this story that I was telling myself that people couldn't afford it. And when I finally raised my prices, I even had some clients that were like, dang, about time. I was wondering why you hadn't raised your prices yet. And so it got me to thinking too, especially about what you said. It's the story that we're telling ourselves that, you know, someone can't afford it, or cheaper is better. Or even if, you know, I do go and look for the cheapest thing, it depends on what I'm looking for. You know, if it's something that's not super important, then yeah, whatever. I'll look for the most cost-effective thing. But if I am really spending money and my time and effort on something and it's a low price, I might think about it a little bit differently than having something at a slightly higher tag price or price tag. So thank you for ex explaining that really, really well.
I would like to shift the conversation around negative mindsets around money. How can people start to shift that into either like neutral or I love my money and my money loves me?
I mean, a lot of this is like both of you have kind of like mentioned about the stories that we tell ourselves, like kind of tying that into like pricing, is that when you're telling yourself that, oh, people can't afford my service, you know, it's actually not true. There are people at many, many different levels. And so when you're kind of manifesting, you if you just switch your mindset into like, actually, no, there are some people that need the cheapest option, and that's fine. But maybe that's, you know, I can do something for them that's maybe not my main service or whatever, but I'm going to try and focus and actually believe that there is more people out there who are maybe in the middle, or, you know, maybe they're even kind of high value people, and that they are out there. And so When you start to tweak your negative beliefs, it's really important that you remind yourself that what you are telling yourself is not actually the universal truth. Like, it's actually a story that maybe came from your family or your conditioning or your society. You know, it's like it's that's not actually true, because you can see evidence for other realities out there. Because otherwise, how are people charging high ticket prices? You know, they must be getting people, otherwise how are they running their business? So if they're doing it, that means that that reality is available to them. Why isn't it, why not you? That's actually probably the biggest thing that happened for me, is this little bit of defiance where I was like, why not me? Right? Like why them and not me? Like that reality is available to them. Why isn't it available to me? Simply because I'm not believing in it, and then my beliefs are infusing all of my actions and taking me in the direction of that belief, as in like, okay, people can only f afford low prices, so I'll like, you know, just do all of my actions and price everything in that direction. You know, and I'll even show up in a way that is like more kind of attractive and magnetic to people of a low price, and et cetera, et cetera. Like, it literally infuses all of your actions. So if you can be a little bit defiant and be like, well, I know that there is something else out there because other people have got it. And so why can't I have it? What do I need to do? How do I need to change in order to make that my reality? And then just that simple kind of like click can really, like, it just changes your whole perspective, and then that changes your actions.
I love that advice. Yeah, I wanted to speak to like intention too, because even with like seven-figure coaches, for instance, they have free offerings out there. And there are different intentions behind it, right? Like some of it is to be of service, to reach as many people as possible who are meant to hear what they have to say. But also it helps like funnel people, right, into the higher ticket items. And I have seen I guess some negative talk around that in the spiritual world of like funnels and being like strategic in that way and like a marketing and business standpoint. But to me, like it's a brilliant way to reach, you know, anyone who has access to like a phone or a computer, whether or not they can afford the higher ticket items. And sometimes it can maybe sway someone who is a little bit tighter on their money, but like if they're able to focus and maybe cut out a few other things, they can prioritize your product because it's going to help them and change their life so much. And I don't really have a question to follow up that. I'm just thinking about like my own pricing strategies through the years and how some things haven't changed on the outside, but like the intention behind them has changed in that I want to, you know, reach as many people as I can, be of service, but also like have the higher ticket items so that I can eat and so that I have diapers for my kid. And I think there's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, I think your content in itself should be seen as a resource, because I mean, you're not getting paid for that, so you're helping people through your content, and that's accessible to anybody. And you know, obviously the with the more input from you, the more you should get on return. So we're coming back to receiving again. If you're not able to say, actually, you know, being in front of me one-on-one should be worth something, otherwise, you know, what's in it for me? That's like a again, like the art of receiving is like, okay, my content is free. You can learn a lot from that. If you actually apply what's in my content, then definitely you'll get some transformations. Then the next thing up might be your email list or like free workshops. Then you might do like a low ticket course or something. And, you know, gradually you get closer and closer proximity to that person. And it should also be that that person is receiving as much as, you know, the person who signs up is receiving.
Yeah, it's like a beautiful way to find that energetic match. Okay. Do you guys mind if I s totally shift the conversation?
Go
Go
for
for
it.
it.
Just
Okay. I couldn't think of a good segue, so I'm just gonna
it.
just gonna do it. So I was looking at your website and you call yourself a love witch.
Yes.
And I just like love the reclaiming of the word witch right now.
So many.
The hashtag is going off, and I'd love to know, like, what does Love Witch mean to you? And are you a money witch too?
I think I'm getting there. It's a very new thing, the money witching, in terms of like what I'm offering. But I guess I'm more of a seasoned love witch. The love witch thing, I think, is because I believe that like the heart is like the essence of everything. And like if you are doing your business from your heart, if you're doing your relationship from your heart, if you're like doing anything, creating from your heart, like all of it, if you are just doing it from this place of like this is true for me, I'm doing it with love, I'm doing it with authentic kind of passion and feeling, then you can't really go wrong. It's all like that's kind of like the path that you should be on. And I also believe that the more that you listen to your heart, it's kind of almost like a radio transmitter to divine, where like you can get these little kind of like, actually, no, that doesn't feel right for me, and that's not aligned. So if you really listen to your heart as well, then you're more likely to have wonderful relationships, to have the business that you desire, and yeah, all of it is like you are in a relationship with divine. So it is all love and relationships. But I think a lot of the time we've got this kind of conditioning or these like narratives that kind of make it hard to follow our heart and make it hard to be in relationships where we are honoring our heart, what we want, what we need. And so the more that you can listen to that, the more that you can kind of like get deeper into it, and kind of like almost like get rid of the cobwebs and whatever, and really listen to your heart, the more that you are actually going to be with somebody that is good for you and in a business that's good for you and everything.
What would you say to someone who, and let me just think of like myself as a teenager and maybe in my early 20s, I listened to my heart a lot, but oftentimes it led me astray. So I have some like theories around it, maybe. But what would you say to someone who like feels like they can't trust their heart?
I mean, you already mentioned before, like getting into nervous system regulation. I think a lot of us are really dysregulated where we think that we're listening to our heart, but we're not. We're kind of like actually just really reacting from an emotional point of view, and that it's more a case of like, I think we have certain unmet needs that kind of like propel us into a direction that is like directed by our feelings, and that at that time what we need is to kind of get back into our body, rather than just kind of like going here, going there. I have 100% been there. Pretty much all of my relationship decisions were based on wanting to feel needed, or like wanting to go for somebody that I could rescue. And that was like, it felt like I was following my heart, because it was like, because my head was like, why would you, why why like why? And all my friends were like, I mean, in the nicest way possible, what are you doing? You can do better. But I felt like I was following my feelings. I was following my heart, but actually, what I was doing was following like trauma and dysregulation and kind of impulsive kind of which I think is different. So the key, I think, to really listening to your heart is to actually get to a point where you're in your body. Where you're like, actually, I can kind of like be very grounded and quiet, and that takes a lot of nervous system work, a lot of observing yourself, observing your patterns, and like kind of really knowing the difference.
I love that. I hadn't really thought of it in that way before, to be honest. Like, I've definitely, heard of or explored like spiritual bypassing, for instance, where you're kind of bypassing the root and going straight to like third eye and crown. But it's almost like heart bypassing, like you're bypassing your root and sacral and solar plexus and just going straight to the heart, and then the love is ungrounded.
Totally. Yeah, that's a really great way of putting it.
Yeah, that's I love that explanation. I know you have like a class or a, pardon me, it's either a master class or a course called Boundaries for Lovers. And I'd love to know like what that's all about. And I know it might have to do with like some sensitive feminine folks and what they are, have typically needed in relationships. And yeah, I'd love you love for you to can talk about what that course is.
It's probably one of the things I get asked about the most is boundaries, because I think when we're like I guess having like some wounding around our receiving or around our ability to kind of soften, a lot of that is because we haven't had the, I guess, what you would call the masculine structure of boundaries. So in order to like be able to receive and to be able to like feel safe with somebody, you need to also be able to feel safe in yourself. So you need to know where your limits are. You need to know like, okay, this is as much as I can handle. This is as much as I can give. And so many people actually don't have any boundaries, or they, or you know, or they don't enforce their boundaries. And so there's a lot of misconceptions around boundaries as well. And so the course goes really into that, or the class goes really into that, where a lot of the time when we talk about boundaries, people seem to think that it's more about the other person. And so they're like, hey, don't treat me like that. Or like, hey, I, you know, stop asking too much of me. But actually, that's not really a boundary. It's more like still kind of being outside of yourself and focusing on the other person. And it's kind of almost like an ultimatum, where it's like, hey, treat me better, but there's no follow-up from you. And so a boundary is actually like a really personal thing, where it's like, what is my capacity? What is my limit? You know, where am I kind of like, I guess you could say masculine or like Saturnian kind of like walls or limits, you know? And so once you've got those in place, it's actually a lot easier to be in your feminine and to soften and to receive, because you've like set the parameters of like what you can give without burning out, or what you can you know, what you can do for others before you start feeling resentful. So yeah, I think that it's a really powerful precursor to doing feminine work, actually.
I really like how you explain that. I had a couple of things that ran through my mind. First of all, when you were talking about our own personal boundaries, I immediately kept thinking of my kids, and I'm like, you know what? It's probably something that needs to be taught from like a very early age. Not so much boundaries for other people, but you know, the that sense of self boundary. And that's probably why a lot of us have a hard time, because as children, we a lot of us have not been given that power for ourselves. We're always the one that
Our
has that power
time.
taken away. And then the other thing that you had said when you were talking about this ma the masculine structure to have that feminine, it I can't remember what book I want to say it was probably like Awakening Shakti. I can't remember the author, but
Ellie Kempton.
it yes, Kempton. And I was like, had this image of the masculine is the container for the feminine to just kind of like flow in, and it holds like it's that space holder. And when you think about that in every single aspect of your life, I know for me, I'm like, I'm not a structured person. I like just going wherever. But when I like sat down with that and was like, well, if I do have a little bit of structure, then I have so much reason and space to flow within that structure. It keeps everything contained. And I just love how, you know, everything that you've said, I'm able to like look at all aspects of my life and like really bring it home. So thank you. Thank you for that, Ellie.
I often use this metaphor. I don't know where it came from, if it came from me or somewhere else, but about the river and the riverbanks. So like if you've got a river and it's like it's got these riverbanks, then it can flow forwards. Whereas if there are no riverbanks, then it just like dissipates out and just like floods into the land and becomes nothing, doesn't move forwards anymore. So you need those riverbanks in order to direct that feminine flow, which is kind of like what you said.
Yeah, that masculine is are the banks and the water is the feminine. I love that. I love that. This has been very enlightening. Enlightening for me. You know, I'm like, okay, money, relationships and all, but you know, it all, I think for me, seeing how the conversation has gone is everything's connected,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
And it's people like you, Ellie, that, when you finally like step into your power, you get to see these like connections to help, someone like me like bring it together. And I think that's the beauty in being able to really step into our dharma, really step into the places that we're supposed to go and be on the path that we're supposed to be on, and not getting so sidetracked. Because if it wasn't for you, there'd be so many people who were just like lost. Why can't I figure this out? Why don't I understand this? And I think that's a really important reminder for us that we all have a purpose of why we're here. You know what I mean? And if we can just, I don't wouldn't necessarily say focus, but surrender to the universe and allow, like, we're really meant to serve in a really, really big way. So thank you for being you and really tapping into that part.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with that. I love your creative mind and your ability to make those like big connections, and I know astrology had a lot to do with it, and like looking at Venus. But just know, like, also it's you, like your particular vessel. I think it was meant to like bring through this connection because it is so huge. And I know for me, like love and money have really gone hand in hand, and struggling with both, and lack of boundaries, and overspending and overgiving of myself. And I think like being able to look at them both, like, one, it increases our confidence, it helps us be more in our purpose. And it helps us, I don't know, just like I said confident, but it helps us feel more powerful in our own lives, because money and love aren't just these like abstract concepts that are totally beyond our control. There's something that like we do have control over. And maybe a balance of control and surrender with.
That's very masculine, feminine.
So, Ellie, I have a question for you. I know Lauren said that she had her statue of Lakshmi and she does her chanting and she's been that for years. Do you have any rituals that you do like every day or every month or during like a full or a new moon that kind of help you bring in this energy?
I have an altar, and usually I'll like do something there, whether it's like make an offering, and I'm very, very casual with my relationship with divine, as in sometimes I'll like make myself a cup of tea and be like, oh, well, you can have it first. Like it can be really casual like that.
I love that.
Or it can be like, oh, I'm gonna go buy a bunch of flowers, and it's gonna be like a, I'm gonna like beautify it and do this kind of like extreme, like this. I think that you can go anywhere between the two, really. Like, so I have an altar, and I'm also one of these weird people that like talks to myself out and about, like and I will talk to the goddess, and I'll be like, I'm being shown something, and I'm like, okay, yeah, got it, thank you, thank you.
I
And people are like, what's going
Who
on
is she
here?
talking to?
And I think that actually a lot of devotion kind of brings you back into like this childlike play and joy, where it's like you've got an imaginary friend almost, like, and you can talk to them. Like you can tell them about your day. Like if I'm upset, then I'll kind of like speak like in prayer, and like just tell the goddess about it. And I think that that is like is it brings your inner child out, where you're like, I've got this kind of friend, mother, guiding kind of like entity that kind of is always with me. And so yeah, I guess I have, like I have a relationship with divine.
I love
And
that.
like,
Go ahead.
yeah, no, I was gonna say like a true relationship. I love the whole, oh, you can have some tea first. Like that is so like my girlfriend, like here you go. Like you're here with me. That's amazing.
I was gonna say that I love inviting my daughter into like the ritual now. So I'm taking your money medium course right now, where I think I have just the last portion to go. But I did, I don't want to give it all away, but there is some mandala making, and then some releasing ritual around that. And it was so nice to be able to just like sit at the table and color with her, because that's what we do every day anyway. And then, show her how we burn the paper. And there's something like, yeah, kind of childlike and magical about adding ritual into your life. And, being an adult, we were talking about the mundane at the very beginning. It can get depressing and kind of black and white and stagnant. And, I think a lot of us, depending on how our childhoods were, we look back at least at certain aspects of them with this like magic, and fondness. And just to anyone listening, like it is not too late to invite that back into your life and to have a cup of tea with the goddess.
She's always up for it. Yeah, she also likes a glass of wine as well, if you're into that.
She read her a white girl.
It depends on the
Well, I love it. Rashido, is there anything else you wanted to ask?
No, I've had so many like little nuggets of wisdom, and now I just need to sit back and like really take this conversation in, because I am already seeing like different areas of my life where I can totally like change and shift things. But Ellie, I would like to know if, someone really wanted to dive a little bit deeper, how can they go about working with you?
So I have Money Medium is my course that we've been talking about. That is open anytime. You can jump on that. And I've got master classes as well that you, if you want to like just learn about one specific thing. Otherwise, I have just opened my books for readings for February. So I do like one-off astrology readings and relationship readings and business readings as well. So if you want like one really potent session, then I have a limited amount of those because they're quite energy intensive. And I also take on one-on-one clients for mentorship, and you can reach out to me about the details of that, where we will go really deep into relationship transformation or kind of bringing a business into actualization, which I find really exciting.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Well, that's all really juicy. We do have one more question for you. Will
Yeah.
you be our bestie, please?
Yay! Of course I
Yay.
Yay.
Well, we will leave all different ways to get a hold of Ellie in the show notes. And Rashida, such great questions today. You always, she's like the best listener, by the way. She's such a good listener. And then the follow-ups are always like total gold. Even when I'm changing my kid's poopy diaper, which happened during this call, Rashida is always on top of it.
Love everything's just so interesting. I just love taking it all in and like really like understanding. When you I Lauren and I talked about that art of listening, like, but when you really like get it, like everything just it's just becomes like a wonder, right? And you just like want to absorb so much stuff and then like really like get it. So thank you, Lauren. I appreciate that. I love learning new things. And Lauren, as always, thank you so much for being able to lead us through this and find Ellie. This is amazing. And we have a new bestie, which I'm so excited about.
Yeah, Ellie, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on, and we'd love to connect with you again.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast, and be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.